course, every Sunday is the first day of the week, and we remember and rejoice and worship our risen Saviour. This morning, our text is in the book of Mark. If you'll turn with me there to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16. If you do have a Bible, let me encourage you to follow along with me this morning. Because this morning, the message is not my own. The message is from God. And I trust it will be an encouragement to your faith this morning. Mark chapter 16. And to begin with, let's read verses 1 to 7. And we'll commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, please share with the person next to you. I'm sure they'll be kind enough to let you lean over. And I hope you can follow along with us this morning in the Word of God. Mark chapter 16, reading from verses 1 to 8. Verse 1 says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him," that is the Lord Jesus Christ. "And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask for his blessing upon this time and his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless your word to our hearts this morning. Lord, we know you've already blessed your word. It is the divinely inspired, perfect word of God. Not only the perfect record of history, Lord, but the supernatural word of God that is able to work in our hearts and reach our greatest need this morning. And Father, we do pray that our hearts would be open. We pray that our hearts would not be hardened to the word of God this morning. Father, we thank you that as we look into the scriptures, Lord, we see an empty tomb. Lord, we see a Christ who has not only died and paid for the sins of the world, Lord, we see a risen Savior. Lord, help us to see him in a greater way and in a clearer way this morning through your perfect word. And Lord, I pray that you would do your perfect will and work in each heart this morning. Father, only you know the needs of our heart. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, that has perhaps come, Lord, seeking salvation, Lord, I do pray that this would be the day that they receive thee as their Savior and know for sure that they will rise again in the last day. Lord, we pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, as we've read these verses in Mark chapter 16, we've seen that on the first Easter morning, as the dawn was breaking, a special message was delivered from an empty tomb. And friends, I'd like you to see this morning that this was a message that would change the world forever. Now, leading up to the empty tomb, what does the Bible tell us? What is the background to what we will be studying this morning? Well, first of all, we see a little group of women, don't we? The women were gathered together. They came early in the morning while it was still dark. And as they came, you can imagine the confusion and the care that was filling their hearts. Remember, they were going to a tomb of a man that they had believed was not only the Savior of the world, but their own personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, these women had given up everything. to follow him. They had put their faith in him. They had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, the greatest need of their soul. And yet as they went to the tomb, they were going to the tomb of one who had died. Never forget, they were going to the tomb of one that promised eternal life. But in their hearts, they knew the one they had trusted had died himself. Can you imagine what confusion was going through their hearts? Can you imagine what concern was going through their hearts? But that didn't stop these women continuing on in their precious mission of love. Remember, these women were coming to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were coming to finish the burial process and they were bringing spices to honor him. And as they kept moving forward, as they kept approaching the tomb, suddenly they saw before them the tomb was open. Moments before, they were concerned about how they would move the gigantic rock from the front. They could not possibly understand, but they went by faith and they found that the tomb was open. Not only did they find the tomb was open, as you look at the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and compare them, the Bible tells us that the Roman guards that were guarding the tomb were found flat, dead on the ground, as if they were dead. They were lying. They were prostrate. And as they ran into the empty tomb, they looked in and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was gone. It was empty. He had disappeared. Now, I don't know what these ladies were thinking, but perhaps they thought that maybe the Jews had stolen the body and would desecrate the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the Romans had moved the body to make sure that no one comes and attempts to take the body. Who knows what they were thinking or what thoughts went through their heart and their mind. But remember, their cares were very short-lived. Because suddenly as they entered the tomb, the Bible tells us that they saw a young man seated beside the place where the Lord had laid. Matthew chapter 28 tells us, in fact, that this was not a young human man. He was an angel of God. He was the angel of the Lord. The Bible tells us here in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 5 that he was clothed in a white garment. And they were frightened. The angel knew that they were afraid. And he sees their fear and begins to speak to them. This angel begins to speak to them on this first Resurrection Sunday, and he gives them a wonderful message of hope, a message that has not only changed the future to come, but a message that is able to change lives even this morning. Amen. For a few moments today, I'd like us to look at the first Easter message. The first Easter message here in Mark chapter 16. The angel of the Lord proclaims a wonderful message that is a life-changing message, a soul-saving message, and the very reason why we are here this morning, to rejoice and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Well, quickly, look with me in your Bibles. What do we learn about this first Easter message? Notice, first of all, it was a message of peace. Notice verse number 6. The angel saith unto them, be not affrighted. Now that tells you what the ladies were feeling and thinking. They were afraid. When they entered the empty tomb and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ was not there, they were afraid. But then when they saw the angel, they were even more afraid. They were amazed. They were affrighted. They were shocked. And the angel was very quick to tell them that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing to fear. It is not a fearful event. It is not a fearful reality. And he comforted them by telling them, be not affrighted. And friends, the first thing we learn this morning when we look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, his bodily resurrection is not some strange supernatural event to be afraid of. My friends, his resurrection is a wonderful message of hope. It is a wonderful message of peace. You see, because Christ is risen, we have a Savior that we can trust in. We have a Savior that we can believe in. This wonderful message of peace still brings peace to hearts today. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking upon the earth, he said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Remember, the Lord said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, the Lord came for a reason. He did not come to tell us to love our neighbors, although as Christians, that's what we ought to do. He did not come to encourage us to do good works to somehow get to heaven. No, my friends, Christ himself came as the payment for our sins. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. My friends, it is you and I that are lost. It is you and I that need a Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the Bible tells us we don't have peace with God. We are all born sinners. We have a sin nature. We sin in practice. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Would you agree with me this morning that we are all sinners? Amen. Now, if you have a doubt, have a read of the Ten Commandments one time. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means not to lie. God says that lying is a sin. You see, every transgression, every time we break God's law, we have sinned against God. And my friends, we have all sinned this morning. We are all sinners by nature. We are all sinners by practice. There's not one of us here this morning that could say, I have never lied. If you would say that this morning, well, you've just committed the sin of lying. We've all lied, my friends. We have all broken God's commandments. And the Bible tells us that because God is a just God, because he is holy, he cannot allow sin into his presence. And he must judge sin. You see, just like when you and I break a law in this country, we have to pay the fine. Now, let me encourage you, watch your speed on the road this long weekend. Amen. Okay? Let's be careful. Let's be honest. Let's be cautious. But understand that if you get a ticket, there's no way around it. You can argue as much as you want. If you've broken the law, you have to pay the fine. That's what we call justice. Now, you see, God would be an unjust judge if he just allowed us to sin and then there would be no penalty. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Look with me there. If you're able, please turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. What does God tell us regarding the problem of sin? The first half of the verse, the Bible says in Romans 6, 23, look with me there. For the wages of sin is death. You see, the word death means separation. And we understand that truth today when we see a loved one pass away or someone we know, they are separated from this life forever. Death is a tragic event. It is, in fact, the penalty for sin. And my friends, we are all sinners, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And there is no person that will be able to stand in their own good works on judgment day, for there is none righteous, no, not one. But my friends, let me encourage you to have hope this morning. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a message of hope, because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. My friends, that is us. You see, though you and I deserve to die, we deserve to be separated forever in a place called the lake of fire. Thank God, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world of mankind that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary died for your sins and mine. He paid with his precious sinless blood once and for all the full payment for our sins. But friends, if that's where the Easter story ended, we would be of all men most miserable. Our faith would be in vain. You see, there is no hope in a dead prophet. There is no hope in a dead religious leader. There is no hope in a person who claims to be the Messiah that simply died on the cross. But my friends, let's be reminded this morning that thank God that's not the end of the story. Amen.
Thank God on the third day, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he conquered death and sin and hell. And friends, that means when Christ paid for our sins on the cross, God the Father accepted his payment. So that means your sins and mine have been paid in full. And Christ has proven that by rising from the dead. And we have a living Savior whom we can call upon today. Amen. To trust in and receive him as our payment for sin once and for all. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a message of hope. My friends, do we not live in a world that is desperately in need of a message of hope this morning? A message of peace, a message of the love of God. Why is the world so wicked today? You may not think it's so wicked, but turn on the TV and you'll be proven wrong. Why is the world in such chaos and disarray? It's because of sin. It's not because of God. God gave us a choice and we made it. We chose to sin. And brethren, the world is in a chaos today because of sin. But thank God, Christ has come to be the propitiation, the payment for sin. He himself is our risen Savior. You see, Christ came so that you and I may have peace with God. If you're still in the book of Romans, have a look at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Please follow along with me this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? On two. 1, 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came so that we may be forgiven, we may be cleansed of our sins, past, present, and future, once and for all, forever, so that we may have peace with God. The Bible says, notice with me in verse 1, a wonderful word, therefore being justified. Friends, that word means to be made righteous. It means to be made right in the sight of God. How can you and I, as wicked, guilty, condemned sinners, be made right in the sight of such a holy God? There is no way. You and I might try to do good things in life, but friends, that doesn't make up for the sin we've already committed. And even in our good works, the very basis of those works are sinful anyway, because we have a sin nature. There is no way we can work our way to God. But friends, the good news is Christ did all the work on the cross. Amen. He paid for our sins and rose again on the third day, so that if we repent of our sins and we choose to put our full confidence and faith in Christ as our Savior, the Bible says in that very moment we are justified. What a wonderful word. It means that Christ's payment for our sins, don't miss it, is deposited into the account of our soul. Christ makes the transaction of forgiveness and we are saved forever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You see, the reason we have hope in Christ is because he is risen from the dead. If he still lay in the grave, my friends, this message would not be a message of hope. It would be a hopeless message. It would not be a message of peace. But thank God on this Resurrection Sunday, we can rejoice that he is risen from the dead. Amen. May I ask you this morning, just a simple question before we continue. Do you have peace with God? Has there been a time in your life that you realized that you were a sinner under the condemnation and the wrath of God? Has there been a time in your life that you realized and trembled before the Lord that the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire? This is the second death. My friends, hell is a real place. But you see, Christ died on the cross so that none of us would ever have to go to hell. None of us would have to pay for our sins. He paid for us. Has there been a time in your life where you repented and you put your faith alone in Jesus Christ as Savior? Or are you here this morning and there is still fear in your heart regarding that moment of death and what's to come? You know, Easter Sunday is a special day for me personally. It was the first time I came to a church like this. You know, I was just like any other young person living in Sydney. I had a great job. My dreams were coming true as a young man. I was getting paid well. I had my own place. I was living my own life. But you know what? My heart was still empty. There was something missing. And to be honest, I was ignoring that. I would tell you I didn't really fear death because, to be honest, I wasn't thinking about it. In fact, when I wasn't a Christian, the reason why I didn't fear death is because I put it in the back of my mind. I pretended it would never come. Perhaps you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor, I don't fear death. It's because we don't think about it. But you see, one day God got my attention. And isn't it amazing how God in His love gets our attention? I was crossing the road that I cross every day to work, and there at the a signpost on the other side of the road, there was a bunch of flowers tied there, and it had a letter there. It wasn't there the previous week, and I went over to read the letter. And it was a tragic letter from the parents of this young girl who was hit on that crossing a few days earlier. And as I crossed the road to the other side, I began to think to myself about what that letter meant. The parents had said this. They said, if someone had seen this accident, if someone was present as a witness, please call this number. And suddenly I put two and two together. I realized that this young lady was hit by a hit and run driver. I realized that this young lady didn't see death coming. I realized that this young lady was just going on about her life, probably planning her future out, thinking that death would never come, and suddenly she was gone. And I started to think about my own mortality. Have you ever had moments like that in your life before? Have you ever had moments that God has allowed you to think about your own death? And maybe it was at a funeral, or maybe it was just the shock of going to the doctors and worrying about what they might say, and worrying they might say it's cancer and this is it. You see, death can come at any time. And God got my attention. But to be honest, I was afraid of finding out more about God, because I was afraid of losing everything that I had. I was afraid I might become someone else. I was afraid I might miss out on the good things in life. Maybe some of you can relate to that as well. So you see, that's what I feared. When it came to the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, to me it wasn't a message of peace. It was a message of fear. One day I went back home. And yes, it was Easter Sunday. It was the long weekend. I had work off. I visited my parents in Canberra. And as I went into my old home, I met two different people. My mum and dad had changed. Suddenly they were excited about God. Suddenly they were trying to tell me about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we had gone to church before. In fact, I considered myself a God-fearing person. I prayed my prayers in the morning. I prayed to Mary at night. I prayed every day for God to take me to heaven. I was doing my best that I could. But you know, God was simply the God that I wanted in my own life. I made Him out to be whom I wanted, to fit with my own life. That was my religion. And there I found my parents passionately trying to tell me about Jesus Christ. And they said, come to church on Sunday. We're going to a new church. And it's the first time that Sunday that I went to a church like this, a Bible-believing church. And it's the first time that I heard this wonderful message of peace. My friends, the Bible tells us, by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. We cannot work to earn our way to heaven, for it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And my heart started to get excited. I was still afraid of what might happen, but I heard this message of peace from the pulpit, and I realized there's more to Jesus Christ than I knew. I realized that God doesn't expect us to climb a ladder to get to heaven. No, my friends, that's empty religion, and you'll never reach the top of that ladder. But Jesus Christ offers the full and complete forgiveness of sin once and for all. And all my life I had missed it. All my life I had chosen to reject it. All my life I had chosen to push God in a corner. But now God was getting my attention. I went back to Sydney with an invitation to go to another church just the same. And as I went in, I heard the message of Christ's death, burial and resurrection again and again and again. Now, my heart was a little bit like that Easter egg. You know, I turned up looking good on the outside, as we all do when we come to church. That's just what we do. But my heart was hard on the inside, like a hard-boiled egg at Easter time. And I needed to hear the Word of God. And suddenly, one day, the penny dropped. In fact, it was Mother's Day, the 7th of May 2005. I remember where I was. I was back in Canberra visiting my mum. I remember what time it was. It was midnight because my mum was challenging me again about my salvation. I told her, look, I pray to Jesus every day. Isn't that enough? I believe in Jesus. She said, look, anyone can pray to Jesus every day. Even the devils believe in Jesus. Even a parrot can repeat prayers. But have you ever put your full trust and confidence in Him to save you once and for all? I said, no, I never have. That means you've never trusted Him as your Savior. You're still trusting in your own good works. And maybe you're here this morning and you were like me. Maybe you're here this morning and you're depending on your own good works to get you to heaven. My friends, Christ died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. If we could do anything to get to God, then there would be no reason for Christ to die on the cross. There would be no reason for our gathering here this morning. But my friends, we cannot earn our way. And that night the penny finally dropped, the light turned on. And in that moment, I repented of my sins. I confessed my sins to God. I said, Lord, there's so many sins in my life. Lord, it would take an eternity to confess. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Lord, I've sinned my whole life, but I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins and you rose again from the dead. Lord, please forgive me today. I trust you as my Savior. Save my soul today. Lord, thank you for dying for me. And friends, in that moment, on May the 7th, 2005, I experienced what the Bible calls the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You see, Christ's resurrection is a message of peace. When we come to Christ once and for all for our salvation, the weight and guilt of that sin that has been on our shoulders for the whole of our life is suddenly gone. And Christ comes to live within our heart. And He gives us a peace, my friends, that stays there forever, day after day, sealed by God unto heaven. Thank God for the message of peace that's found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But before we go on, do you have the peace of God in your heart? Friends, anyone can pray a religious prayer. Churches are filled this morning, people, with people praying religious prayers. But that won't get them to heaven. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, trusting in Him alone. Let me encourage you this morning, if there's no peace in your heart, If you would say and be honest this morning, Pastor, I don't have that assurance of salvation. May I encourage you to come to the empty tomb like these ladies. Come to the empty tomb and be not afraid, for He is risen. Let me encourage you to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior today. You see, this message on the first Easter Sunday, would you agree, was a message of peace. We have peace with God, the Bible says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a message of peace. Come back with me to Mark chapter 16 as we keep moving. Are you still with me this morning? Mark chapter 16. Let's continue to enjoy this wonderful announcement. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 6. Notice, not only is it a message of peace, but it is a message of power. The angel said unto the women, he said, be not affrighted. Don't fear. Notice what he said next. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Say it with me. He is risen. You see, not only was this a message of peace, but it was a message of power. My friends, the Bible tells us right here in Mark chapter 16, according to eyewitness accounts, the Lord Jesus Christ did not stay dead in the grave. His body did not corrupt. He did not waste away in that cold, empty rock tomb, my friends. On the third day, by His own power, the Bible says, He rose again from the dead. And here we see the message of power. The message of power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was not just a prophet, my friends. If He was just a religious teacher, He'd be like any other religious teacher in the world, still dead in the grave. There's a place you can go to this morning where you'll find Buddha's finger. There's a place this morning you can go to find the graves of Hindu leaders and yogis. You can go to their grave. You can see where their body is kept. You can see the bodies and tombs of religious leaders today. But my friends, if you go to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem today, you won't find a body in that tomb. Amen. You will find an empty tomb For Christ is risen. The power of the risen Christ. You see, He rose again from the dead. He rose again by His own power. You might say this morning, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? Well, friends, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means that His resurrection power is given to us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ once and for all for salvation, brethren, the Bible tells us we are made spiritually alive. Is that correct? You can say amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, the power of the risen Christ. He has the power to change our lives from the inside out. Many times I'm asked by religious people, like I once were. Not wrong to ask questions. Many of those questions are just the same as I had, which was, look, if you can simply ask Christ to save you once and for all, that means you can simply live as you please. My friends, that's not true. When you repent of your sins, He comes to live within you. He fills you with His presence and His power. We experience the resurrection of the power of Jesus Christ, and we can now live a life with new desires, seeking to live for God. Amen. You see, Christ has not only risen from the dead, but He is our risen Savior that walks with us, that helps us to live the Christian life, not in order to get to heaven. We are already going to heaven, but in order to please God. You see, that is the power of the resurrected Christ. You see, every born-again Christian that has changed is the evidence of the power of God at work in the life of a believer. You know, when I went home that Easter morning, my parents weren't perfect. I knew them inside out. I'd grown up with them. But I noticed a change. There was a change in their desires. There was a change in their life. There was a change in their passion. And friends, that is the evidence of the power of God at work. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only does He have the power to change our lives, and we could talk more, but let me say this, He has the power over the grave so that you and I can know that in the last day we will rise to be with Him. Look with me in John chapter 11 and verse 25. The book of John, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, chapter 11, verse 25. Notice the Lord declare the power of His resurrection in verse 25. John chapter 11 verse 25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, friends, because Christ is risen, you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, if we have trusted Him as Savior, we have the promise that we too will rise again. You see, death has no hold over the Christian. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ's resurrection, now look up here this morning, don't get distracted. Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Amen. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. You see, we know that if we pass from this life into the next, death is not the end for you and I. We will rise to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees the resurrection and eternal life of every born-again believer. And we don't need to wait until we breathe our last breath to have eternal life. When we trust Christ, we have eternal life right now. We are risen in Christ. We are alive in Him. His resurrection power lives in us and through us, and we have that wonderful hope and assurance because He rose from the dead. We can also expect and live with joy and assurance that we will be with Him forever. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a simple truth, but let me say this. Many people will miss the truth of His resurrection this morning. Many people in an Easter service will miss it. Why? Because perhaps our hearts are hard and our ears are closed. I trust that's not you this morning. You see, because Christ is risen, He is the hope of eternal life. He has proven eternal life to be sure in Him by rising from the dead. So if you and I would have any hope of a future with God and our sins forgiven, we need to trust in a risen Savior. We need to trust in one who has risen. You see, if Christ had only died, there would be no hope. You cannot pray to a dead prophet this morning. He cannot help you. You cannot pray to a dead religious leader. But my friends, the Bible tells us if we call out to the Lord and we cry out to Him for salvation, He can hear us because He lives, He is risen, and He will not cast out anyone that comes to Him for salvation. He is a risen Savior. Friends, have you trusted in Him? Have you chosen to make Him your personal Savior? Has there been a specific time in your life that you were born again by faith in Jesus Christ? Friends, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is our victory in Jesus. Because He arose, we are risen with Him, and we will spend eternity where He is forever. Thank God for the precious power of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Brethren, the Bible tells us that Christ was the first and we follow Him. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, if you slipped into eternity today, do you know where you will be? Will Christ be beside you as your Lord, or will Christ be before you as your judge? It's only one or the other. If we reject Him as our Savior, one day we will meet Him as our judge, and the judgment will be final. Separation forever in a place called the lake of fire. But Christ is risen from the dead. The angel said that, "Don't fear, ladies. This is a message of peace, but it is a message of power that can change your lives and give you hope." They were already believers in Jesus Christ, and they were wonderfully overjoyed to hear this wonderful message of power beyond the grave. Power to save. How can it be possible that God can take a sinful, blackened heart like yours and mine and supernaturally change it in a moment? He can, because He is risen. He has conquered death, sin, and hell. And He can supernaturally change your heart and mine when we come to Him in faith and trust Him as our Savior. You see, that's the power of the risen Christ. The message we've seen this morning is a message of peace, a message of power. Notice quickly, thirdly, verse number 6, it is a message of proof. The angel said, "Be not affrighted." The angel said, "He is risen." Thirdly, the angel said, "He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him." Now picture it in your mind. The ladies have come to anoint a body, but they arrive at the tomb to find no body is there. They come to the tomb and there's an angel there, and He invites them to come closer. What does He say? He says, "Look for yourselves," does He not? He says, "Come and have a look at the proof for yourselves." You see, the angel's message is a message of proof. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not some mysterious supernatural fable written down in the storybooks in our minds of our children. No, it's not. My friends, 10 elephants didn't come out of the Middle East and pick up Christ from the grave and carry Him to a place where turtles exist and all sorts of genies fly around and all sorts of nonsensical tales that many religions believe in today. No, my friends, He physically, bodily, supernaturally rose again from the dead. And the evidence that's historical, supernatural, and from the witness that we have in the Word of God and the witness of history proves that Christ is risen from the dead. You see, it is a message of proof. You can look at the events surrounding the resurrection of Jesus Christ and see for yourself that it must have been a supernatural resurrection. That is the only conclusion. Why do we know? Well, the proof of the stone that was rolled away. The question has been asked since Christ rose: who rolled away the stone? Who rolled that stone away? How did it get to be open? Well, you see, the women knew that they weren't able to open it. Would you agree? They said that themselves in verse 3. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door?" We know the women couldn't do it. Would you agree? You see, the stone was a gigantic stone that covered the mouth of this rock tomb. It was a solid rock that was estimated to weigh over 2 tons. That's about the weight of an average four-wheel drive family car. 2 tons. Huge. Heavy. It was maneuvered by a lever system in order to move it away, slowly and painstakingly. We know the women would not do it. But we also know that the disciples would not do it. The first lie that has ever been told about the resurrection of Jesus Christ was by the Jews. And when they realized that there was an empty tomb, actually before he was buried, they were fearful that the disciples would steal the body. And then after they found out that the body was gone, they said, well, just say that his disciples came by night and stole the body. That's the first lie. But there's a problem with that. The disciples were nowhere to be found. You see, all the way back in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Christ Jesus was betrayed by Judas, what did his disciples do? They fled. They fled because of fear for their own lives. The only one that stood up for Christ, and he did that in his own bravado and foolishness, was Simon Peter, who cut the ear off one of these servants of one of the guards, and the Lord rebuked him for that. And then when Christ was taken, Simon Peter followed after. But when he was confronted about his faith, what happened to Simon Peter? Well, so often, just like you and I, he denied Christ when put under the pressure. He denied the Lord. How many times? Three times. I guarantee you it wasn't Simon Peter who went to the grave to steal the body. It wasn't his disciples. My friends, they were in hiding. At the crucifixion, the Bible tells us that it was only the women that was there, and the only apostle we know that was there was the apostle John. John and the women. The disciples would not do it. They were in fear. They were in hiding. So who moved the stone from the door? Well, the Bible tells us in the account of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, that suddenly there was an earthquake. Suddenly an angel appeared, and it was the angel of the Lord that was inside this tomb that rolled the stone away from the door. You see, there is no other answer to the open tomb than a supernatural event that must have taken place. Now, there's also the proof of the unguarded tomb. Not only the open tomb, but the unguarded tomb. You see, before the third day, the Jews, who were fearing that the disciples would come and steal the body, besought Pilate. They went to Pontius Pilate and they said, look, he said he would rise from the dead. We don't believe it, but we're worried the disciples will come and steal his body. And then this cult will be out of control. So please, can you post a Roman guard at the tomb? Now, you know the rest of the story. Pilate agreed. And so they posted a Roman guard in front of the garden tomb to protect it. Now, please keep in mind that these Roman guards were not any kind of soldier. These were battle-hardened, disciplined, and in fear of Caesar type of guards. You see, they knew that there was a decree from Caesar that if any Roman guard left their post or left their post unguarded or fell asleep at their post, it would be immediate execution. You could say that these Roman guards were guarding the tomb with their very lives. They indeed were. Now, the Bible also tells us that they not only guarded the tomb, but they sealed the tomb. They placed a special seal on the tomb that would prevent it from being tampered with. And if the stone was moved, that seal would break, giving the evidence that someone had moved the stone. So the stone was set, the seal was set, the guard was set, and yet on the third day, the tomb was empty. What took place? Well, you see, the Lord's body was never stolen. The Bible tells us what took place. On the third day, Christ arose from the dead. On the third day, the stone was rolled away from the door, and Christ came forth in victory, my friends. And if you look into the proofs of the resurrection, you will find what many historians have found today, that there is conclusive truth in every angle that you look at, that Christ is risen from the dead. Now, there are many tombs that you can go to in our world today. You can go to Egypt. You can see the tombs of those who were pharaohs and kings and princes. You can go to many countries today and see the tombs of religious leaders and politicians. But friends, the Garden Tomb is famous for one thing. It is famous because of who is not there. Friends, he is risen. See, the angel, would you agree, declared a message of proof. Christ's resurrection is not hidden somewhere in a corner. It is revealed to all. Simply, we need to do what Jesus Christ invited everyone to do. Seek and ye shall find. Amen. Seek the truth. Now, that's a choice. I remember when I was not a Christian, I chose not to seek. I was making a choice not to seek, so at that point, I never found. But you see, when we take up the promise that Christ says, seek, he promises we will find. Are you seeking Jesus Christ this morning? Do you desire to know more about the gift of eternal life? Friends, faith is not based upon a blind leap in the dark. Our Christian faith is not based upon a guess or a wishful thinking, friends. Our faith is grounded in supernatural historical facts. Amen. Christ is risen from the dead. I think we need to be reminded this morning that the resurrection of Christ is a message of proof. Amen. The proof is there. The question is, will we put our faith in the facts of the Word of God? Faith in the facts. That's what faith is. A message of proof. The angel declared, be not afraid. We know it's a message of peace. The angel declared, he is risen. He has power over the grave. The angel declared, come see the place where he lay. See for yourselves. It is a message of proof. Lastly, notice, as the angel concludes, he declares this message to be a message of promise. Come with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. As we near the end of the angel's declaration on the first Easter Sunday, notice the promise given. The angel says to the ladies, but go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Notice the next words. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. You see, as the angel closed this message, as I will in a moment, he reminded the women that they would see Christ again. He encouraged them in their faith. He said, not only is the Lord risen and he is not here, but don't worry, you will see him again. Can you imagine what excitement welled up in the hearts of these women? Can you imagine their excitement as they left the tomb? Can you imagine their excitement anticipating to see the risen Christ? And let me say this morning, if you are a born-again Christian, if you are sure of your salvation, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, we should be just as excited as these women this morning. Brethren, the Bible tells us that you and I, as God's children, will see the very face of Jesus Christ. Not in Galilee, but in glory. Not in Galilee, my friends, but in glory. Christ is coming again. He is alive. He is risen. And he is coming again. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 14. Let's close with this verse. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. A message of promise. There ye shall see him. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Actually, let's begin in verse 1. As he speaks to his disciples, as he knows the heart of his people, the fear, that confusion that will come when he departs, he says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What a wonderful promise. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, Christ's resurrection is a message of promise. It is the promise that Christ is risen and that he is coming again, and he is coming for his own. Friends, if you are not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, this must be the day of your salvation. For he is coming again. The Bible tells us that Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Everyone that has died in faith in Jesus Christ will suddenly and supernaturally be risen again. Their souls are with Christ, but their bodies will join them in the air. And then you and I, which are alive and remain, that our believers will be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Friends, He is coming again. Hallelujah. We shall see His face. Be encouraged. Be excited. You see, the resurrection means everything to us as Christians. Everything. That's why Easter comes and goes, but every Sunday we're here to worship a risen Savior. But I'm thankful for Easter Sunday. I'm thankful that it brought a religious person like me into a place where I could hear the wonderful message of peace, of power to change my soul, a message that has proof that I can ask questions about, and lastly, a message of promise, knowing that I will see Him again, knowing that Christ, He lives within my heart. He walks with me each day. He speaks to me in His Word. I speak to Him in prayer. I have a living relationship with the living Savior. But one day, I will see Him, and I will be like Him. For brethren, we shall see Him as He is. What a wonderful promise. The promise that we'll see Him again. You see, that's why Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Let me be humble and careful in saying this. Jesus Christ is the only way. Friends, that means that every religion in the world is a lie. I'm not ashamed to say that this morning. Jesus Himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, Jesus said, shall not die. He will rise. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. See, Christ is the only way. Why? Because He is, say it,
risen.
Say it again, He is risen. That's why He is the only way. And by the way, thank God He only made one way of salvation. So that you and I can simply and clearly know how we can have our sins forgiven and have eternal life in Jesus Christ. The message that I have given today is not much. I don't think it's very good. I wouldn't regard it at all. But friends, the message that the angel gave on Easter Sunday morning is still a message that has the power to change lives this morning. And the invitation is open for those of us here who need Christ. Are you willing to come to Him and to cast off your fear and see that His salvation is a message of peace? Will you be willing to repent of your sins today? And put your confidence in Christ alone to save you once and for all on the 27th of March, 2016. Friends, come to Christ today before it's too late. He is coming again. And Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, well then let's live for Jesus Christ. Let's live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let's show the world around us that there is a risen Savior and that He lives within us. Let's be like the women who went from the grave and told everyone else that Christ is risen. He is not here and we shall see Him. We've got a wonderful message to tell. We've got a wonderful Savior to rejoice in. Please take some time this morning to thank God that He is risen. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. As we conclude our morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, let's stand together for a moment. If you're able, please stand with me. In a few moments, we'll close this morning's service. And I'm not sure what brought you here this morning. But God knows. He works in our life to draw us unto Himself. But we need to choose to respond to His invitation. If you're here this morning and you would be honest with God and say, I have no peace in my soul. I don't know with 100% assurance that I would be with the Lord in heaven if I died right now. I'd like to know, I'd like to be sure, you might say,
but that peace is not in your heart. May I encourage you this morning to respond to the invitation. Be honest with God and allow us to show you from the Bible how you can receive the gift of eternal life. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here this morning and you would say, I need Jesus Christ to come into my life as my Savior today, would you simply raise your hand? There's no one looking around. There's no one except myself. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out to the front. I'd just like to meet with you at another time to share from the Bible how you can be sure of eternal life. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you need to slip up your hand, would you slip up your hand right now and then put it down? Is there anyone here this morning? Remember, the invitation is open. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. And He still saves today. Would you welcome Him and come to Him this morning to be your Savior? Is there anyone here this morning that would raise their hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'd like to make Christ my Savior today. Friends, if you did not want to raise your hand, God still knows. Let me encourage you to find someone this morning to talk to and seek and take the promise that you will find. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, the hymn is Amazing Grace that's playing. Christian, do you need to rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If Christ is not risen, we only have hope in this life. But because He has risen, friends, we have hope beyond the grave. We have hope that we will rise again, that we have eternal life. Do you need to thank the Lord this morning and renew your desire to live for Him? Let's take some time to pray as the music continues. Let's pray where we stand and speak to the Lord from our hearts as we close.